This is the second of our two exclusive KGEZ Good Morning Show drill downs made possible by Bailey Insurance Services, Washington, D.C., and Linda Kenyon.
Good morning, Linda.
Good morning. My vote goes to Steph Curry.
Steph Curry.
I like that one.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you missed some of the dog names, but you really didn't miss anything.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. I've got the exotic pet names I'll be doing a little bit later on for those of our listeners out there that have a emotional support snake or, you know, a alligator luggage, you know, something like that.
Better watch out for that one.
Well, let's get it. Have you recovered from looking at the sun?
Yes. Okay. Yes, indeed. We had very good eye protection, sun filters on all of the telescopes. It was a spectacular view.
Now, did you see?
And,
did you see the little red bead at the bottom of the eclipse?
Well, that, my friend, was not a red bead. That was called a solar prominence, and it was absolutely astoundingly clear through the telescopes.
Wow!
And you really can't see more than just a dot with the eclipse glasses, but with the telescopes, you could see not only the solar prominence, but you could see it in action.
Wow.
It was really quite a thing. Yeah,
wow.
Yeah.
So yesterday, when you weren't with us, you were busy covering the president and the Japanese prime minister.
Oh, you know, it was a very busy, busy day yesterday. We had the official state arrival ceremony on the South Lawn of the White House, where the president and first lady, full of the pomp and circumstance of military review, the music, the marching of the troops, you know, the ceremonial troops, including the Revolutionary War figures, there was the welcoming of Prime Minister Kishida and his wife to the White House. And then there was immediately after that a meeting in the Oval Office, followed by a joint news conference, followed by a state dinner, and even as we speak right now, the Prime Minister of Japan is on Capitol Hill about to deliver an address to a joint meeting of Congress presided over by Vice President Kamala Harris. And then after that, he comes back here. I'm at the White House now. He comes back to the White House for a trilateral summit, the first of its kind, at the White House, with President Biden, Prime Minister Kishida, and the President of the Philippines, Ferdinand Marcos Jr. And then we get to see all three of them later this afternoon.
So, now, there's something going on with Ferdinand Marcos Jr. and being able to resupply that ship that, you know, China has got a beef with them. I'm not sure exactly what's going on.
Well, one of the reasons for this meeting is to show shore up the visibility of the partnership between the U.S., Japan, and the Philippines amid growing concerns about a threat posed by China in the South China Sea and in the Indo-Pacific in general. And so this is going to be, again, timing is never by accident. This is going to be not only a show of a strong partnership, economically speaking, but militarily speaking, and it is meant to do so before the November presidential election, because not only is President Biden up for re-election, and there are some concerns in the current election cycle about the strength of the candidacy, if you will, the fight being put up by Donald Trump. And at the same time, the Prime Minister of Japan is facing some political headwinds himself. So the U.S. and Japan, and now by extension the Philippines, want to show to the world that there is a strength in this partnership before anything political can take any exert any influence at all on that partnership.
What about the 250 cherry blossom trees?
The 250 cherry blossom trees. Well, as you know, Japan gifted the United States the original cherry blossom trees, which are placed surrounding the tidal basin, which is in downtown D.C. And the tidal basin is a huge draw for tourists to come every year to see these spectacular cherry blossom trees in full bloom. Well, 250 of those trees are going to have to be removed because the tidal basin needs to be shored up. Part of it is under, you know, depending on the rainfall on a particular day, under maybe 2 inches of water or more. And the trees are not going to be able to, with their roots in the water like that, you know, live comfortably, if you will, for very long. So some of them are being transplanted. Many of them are not being transplanted. They will be replaced by additional cherry trees that the Japanese prime minister says his country is sending to the United States of America.
All right.
So let's move over here to Congress, back in session now, and I got a story yesterday from the Associated Press that Speaker Johnson had been recalled to Mar-a-Lago for a pep talk.
Yeah, Speaker Johnson does track very closely with former President Trump. Some have said he's taking his marching orders from the former president, especially when it came to, for example, not putting a border security bill on the floor of the House for quite some time because the former president said to him and tweeted on, well, we can't say tweeted, but he posted on his social media site, Truth Social, don't give Biden a win. In other words, make it a political issue in the elections. And don't solve the problem, because essentially, if you solve the problem, then the Republicans and Donald Trump in particular wouldn't be able to use the border security issue as a cudgel during the presidential campaign season. So that was one of the major indications that Mike Johnson was getting a lot of his direction from the former president. And that perception persists on several other issues, and you know, there is still a lot of pressure on Mike Johnson to do what the conservatives want him to do in the House. A small group of the most conservative Republicans in the House, and some Republicans are very upset with Mike Johnson because he's not being conservative enough. For example, when it comes to issues such as the government spending bill that averted a government shutdown on March 22nd and previously on March 8th, the conservative Republican Marjorie Taylor Greene of Georgia said that Johnson needed to be recalled, if you will, or issued a motion to vacate the chair because she said he made deals with Democrats in order to keep the government funding and avert a government shutdown, and there was nothing in it for conservatives. So she's still very angry at Mike Johnson, and she sat down and had a meeting with him yesterday, and nothing was resolved.
You know, it's really funny. I hear the term conservatives and, you know, what is it they call the liberals?
Libtards.
You know, libtards or you know, extremists. They're always trying. But, you know, conservative, I don't know if that's a good description anymore of the positions that we're in. And it's just a personal observation, because I think of conservative not as the Constitution going back and you know, considering the original intent of the Constitution, but instead being, you know, conservative with a dollar and measures that we usually hear. But is it conservative to not handle legislation when you're in the legislative branch? That just doesn't seem right.
Yeah, well, you know, I will say that you can be a fiscal conservative and a social moderate, but a fiscal that was often what Republicans were more known for, and now, of course, it's a conservative financially and socially, and as a result, you know, conservatives, Republicans in general, believe in less government, not more. So. You know, that's a sweeping generalization, but nonetheless, You know, that, but it is kind of an odd juxtaposition when you consider that they are in the government and they want less of them, if you can put it that way.
But, you know, it's a generalization. A generalization, too, because when you say they, you're talking about the politicians. When you're talking about the people, they want government services. I want my Social Security check and the like, too.
Right,
you know?
Right.
Well, I like my highways, you know, and I like my bridges to be intact when I go over them. There are just a lot of things like that.
That need to be funded. So, anyway.
And those things are paid for in the government funding process. You know, the Congress really has one job, and that's to fund the federal government. And it's, you know, kind of been working on a sliding scale in recent years with these short-term funding measures. But you fund the government to provide for the American people. And projects such as highways, roads, bridges, et cetera, especially in the interstate highway system, which began during the Truman administration, you know, is something that states and localities cannot possibly fund on their own because of the sheer volume of money that it takes for these infrastructure projects. And so that's where the funding is so very important. And again, you know, a lot of people have a lot of conservatives in the House, for example, they have a philosophy of, you know, don't spend too much money and stop taxing the American people. And it's very easy to see how that is a winning strategy, except when somebody's bridge falls down. And, you know, that affects not only the local and state economy, the regional economy, but it affects the national economy and the national transit system, as we're seeing right now in the Port of Baltimore.
Linda, as always, we appreciate your great reporting, and thank you for drilling down for us this morning.
Well, I thank you. You have a wonderful day.